It's Tuesday, March 27th, and the Bucks are back, baby. They get a big win over the San Antonio Spurs on Sunday, but they head out west for a make-or-break road trip starting tonight. To baseball, opening day for all 30 teams is on Thursday. The Brewers open up in San Diego. We'll give our thoughts on the season ahead. And to football, the Giants reportedly have opened up trade offers for Odell Beckham Jr. Let's get him to Green Bay, right? We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tap in the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at MitchRossMKE and at SnowTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Episode 278. Charlie here with you. Mitch on the ones and twos. How are we doing today, Mitchy?
I've had a tremendous Monday. We taped this Monday night.
Good for you.
It's been a great Monday.
Love
My
it.
Phone goes off right away.
That's how you gotta start that podcast.
Yeah, it's been a tremendous day. I mean,
good buddy.
It was weather was somewhat tolerable.
Yeah. Not bad.
Bucks won.
Duke
on Sunday.
Lost. I mean,
Grayson Allen lost.
Sister Jean's still keeps it rolling.
Sister Jean's a bigger story than pretty much anyone in this entire NCAA tournament or season, for that matter.
I wrote on SnowTapWI today. Don't slander Sister Jean. I'm not.
Oh, I won't.
I'm not about it. Not about it.
No, I wouldn't publicly do
how, it. How much of an advantage does Loyola have that it's Easter weekend and they have a woman of the cloth on their squad?
The team of they're like the new Notre Dame. They're the team of destiny.
Yeah,
they're God's team.
Before you know it, there'd be dunking Jesus. What would be the equivalent of touchdown Jesus? Would there be a dunking Jesus? Would there be the Jesus with the jump shot? Because you touchdown Jesus is so. I mean,
yeah,
whatever.
There's like kind of a tagline, or every year in the tournament there becomes like
right,
like it was Dunk City a couple of years ago.
Yeah, right.
You know, there's always some like thing that comes out of nowhere and. They love it. I mean, that side of the bracket is completely toast.
Well, right. I mean, Michigan, though, is like a red-hot team. And Michigan's really good. I mean, they're going to give Loyola quite a
game.
They just
shoot it so well. And it's
right,
like,
and they play great defense. Yeah. I mean, they finally figured out how to like pair a good defensive or good offensive team with a good defense.
I didn't mention this to you yet, but I thought that was one team that we were both on. You know, Michigan was like, we both like them.
Right.
And then here they are. They've performed for us, one of the few teams.
And we were both on Villanova, and I think, you know, that was...
But as a one seed, that's kind of
But we saw it
chalky.
As clairvoyance of that they were the best team in the whole thing, and they are.
I don't think I felt better about a champion.
No.
In my, like, picking career.
They're so dominant, and now you'll wonder about the Jay Wright NBA rumors, if those are going to start populating. But before we get into the NBA... find us, SnowTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, MitchRossMKE on Twitter, as he says, in the open. Also, SnowTapWI, it's a website. Subscribe, iTunes, and Google Play. We appreciate all of you. So, yes, the NBA, we'll dive into baseball here in a little bit, which feels good to talk about that. But the Bucks did kind of look different on Sunday. They get a victory against the San Antonio Spurs. I wouldn't say it was unexpected, but just the way they played looked like a different team. It wasn't the team that I think we've hated for the last 2 weeks, right?
Right, exactly.
Where it's kind of like they broke you and you just hate watching this team. And so I wrote something on Sunday night, and I'll hear your thoughts here. Did Joe Prunty finally figure out how to manage this roster? And is that what we've seen the last couple of days? And he's finally figured out that we have to have this combination of Shabazz and Brandon Jennings, as well as just sort of how it all works. Because a couple things I've noticed.
I'll say no.
Okay. And then the only thing I'll say that's keeping in mind, all of a sudden the Bucks are shooting threes. So when we had that conversation about Chris Middleton, just start jacking. They've shot more than 25 threes in the last four games. And that's comparable to the last four games where 25 was their high. And now they're shooting around 25 to 30.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what changed to tell that these guys just shoot the ball.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, they shot a good percentage on Sunday. I think they were...
9 of 27, I think.
Okay,
so
never mind.
No, 33% is okay.
Yeah.
Not great.
You'd like to get double digits.
They were 15 of 30 on Friday night against
that's
the Bulls.
That's what it was.
They were red hot against the Bulls.
So, and without that, they would have lost.
Yes, probably. Without the bench.
So, I mean I know in the postgame show on Friday, I mocking Sparky was reading where we were in the standings at the time.
Yeah.
And I mockingly played celebration. behind as he's like he was being sarcastic about winning, beating the Bulls or something. It was good, but yeah, I mean, so like that game Friday, I was definitely getting pissed. I didn't get to watch like the first half, but I was just checking the score.
I mean, Chris mailed it in. Eric Bledsoe decided he was gonna follow everything in sight. I mean, they got bailed out by the bench. I mean, that's the first real – there's only been a few games where the bench has bailed them out. But, I mean, Shabazz coming out of nowhere and having 21 points is amazing.
It's just kind of like – I wouldn't say Joe Prunty has figured anything out. There has to be an organizational mandate that Thon Maker has to play. That's the only excuse.
Yeah.
Just makes you want to – oh, my God.
I feel
put
like,
your head against the wall.
I mean, that Cleveland game –
Tyler Zeller is healthy. He's the best center on the roster,
yeah,
and he doesn't play.
Right.
And Thon Maker's in there for 20 minutes. It's like,
I don't know.
He caught a couple DNPs there, and you're thinking, all right, Thon's probably done. And you know, I hate to say it, but good riddance. And apparently not.
Nope. I don't know if it's a team mandate. I think it's just they know that it's not productive to have him just sit on the bench.
True. And unless they just, you know, I mean, deep down, you know, the fans don't want to hear this, but they're thinking, well, we're not going to win the championship this year anyway. You might as well give Thon some minutes and just keep her moving.
At least showcase him. If has a couple games, you can point to those when you put him in trade talks this summer and say, well, look at that Cleveland game. Look at like this game. Look at the Toronto games. Like, he shows something in these games, mm-hmm. and just you keep hoping for flashes. So when you showcase him to a team, that they look at that and they ignore the fact that he's one of the worst 7-foot rebounders of all time.
And teams seem to go on 20-5 runs when he's on the
right.
court.
Yeah, exactly. So how was I going to go? That the Bucks, I feel like they're in an okay spot. They look a little bit better now.
Look better. It could.
We've had the wool got pulled over our eyes before.
Right.
But I do think maybe there was some Jason Kidd residuals of shooting threes where they didn't want to shoot threes and they were shooting twos. And then Joe Prunty and staff might have been like, guys, I know none of you are that great at shooting threes, but just do it. Just fuck it. Like, if they go in, it's fine. And
which is what I say about the tanking teams in the NBA, is that I think they literally, it seems like the Orlando game was a great example of this. Just shoot threes. We know you guys can't make them, but you might as well learn how to do it while we're getting our ass beat.
Right, and they went 18-34 that night, and were just unbelievable.
Right.
And maybe that was a lesson to the Bucks about, like, guys, just keep shooting, because do you have all this length, and you have all this length to get offensive rebounds and to pull things down, where it's not like it's like one of those things where you're not going to have opportunities to make it happen. So. Yeah. Bucks go out west. It's an interesting trip because they have the Clippers, who they definitely owe a win, and they can beat the Clippers. Like, I mean, DeAndre Jordan's a problem. We'll see about your whole Thon Maker thing with DeAndre Jordan tonight, because Tyler Zeller probably should be starting against DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah,
because
but he won't,
right? And DeAndre will have a big first quarter like he did last week, and then there you go.
I don't know if Tyler Zeller can really
keep up.
Stop DeAndre Jordan either. I mean, to me, people tell me DeAndre Jordan's bad, but I don't see that. You know, maybe not bad. Bad's a harsh word, but he's not worth the money.
I think
he's one of those guys, which is probably true. I mean, nobody's worth $30 million except for LeBron and, you know, your top five guys.
I think he's one of those guys who's just consistent, but he doesn't really show off a ceiling. Like, he's just a consistent player, but he can never, like, have one of those stat lines like Andre Drummond does, where he might have 15 points, 20 boards and 7 assists.
Yeah.
And he might have 15 and 20. But
you'd have to talk to a Clippers fan about him.
He's
probably
never had 30 points in a game, which is crazy. If you think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a star.
Well, I mean, when you can't shoot outside of 1 foot.
And that's the other problem, is he has no
He's got no mid-range.
He's not versatile at all.
No.
He just has this little bit of a sort of does a little bit of things here and there, but it's not too exciting.
Kind of a garbage dude, you know, garbage man, I guess, so to speak. And he likes, you know, he's a black hole.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know why a team would pay like $30 million for him. I think the NBA contracts
that's a scary thing with him,
right? And I think NBA contracts are going to go the way of MLB, where you're just going to start seeing a little bit of less money because people are going to get smarter, and they overpaid so much in 2015 that you're going to start seeing it decrease, maybe not to where it was at baseball, but that trend is continuing on. You're seeing it even with football. Few guys, more less and less guys are getting overpaid, essentially. Yeah.
which is kind of weird.
Yeah, but that, I think that's just people are getting smarter, and there are more nerds that are taking over front offices, and that's you're seeing more. It is.
No, you're right. You're right.
It's less of the football, basketball guys, and more of the analytic guys who went to Harvard or Yale and who are putting pen to paper and seeing what's going on here.
Guys who never played a down in their life.
Oh yeah, I love that. Love that hot take. That's my favorite. Like, you guys don't understand because you weren't in a locker room. Those guys fucking suck.
All because of some Moneyball.
Yeah.
Moneyball movie.
Oh man, it's the worst.
Your Hollywood propaganda.
No kidding. So the Bucks also get a little bit of an advantage playing the Golden State Warriors. Now, I think Draymond Green should play. He does have an illness. That'll help out. If they could get it, score a win against the Warriors, definitely would be unexpected. Ooh. But I mean, they're completely a shell. Like, yeah. They got blown out by the Jazz, who Jazz are playing great basketball. So I'm not comparing the Bucks and Jazz, but they can beat that Warriors team right now with the way that Golden State's rolling out lineups.
Yeah. And I don't feel bad one bit for the Warriors.
No, it's fine. And then a Laker team.
I don't feel bad about the Spurs.
A Laker team on a back-to-back might be tough. And then the Nuggets, who've been an absolutely terrible matchup for the Bucks. So
yeah.
What do you think? I mean, 2-2 I think would be nice. I know we'd always love a 3-1 West Coast trip.
2-2 I'd be just fine with.
Two
I'd be hunky dory.
Just peachy.
1-3 is probably where, you know, the money lies.
Yeah, it's problematic.
I'd say that's probably where it is. That's about what I'm expecting.
Oh,
2-2 would be great.
Classic pessimistic match, right?
Well,
right?
I'm not gonna get, you know.
Well, I think you can get. Well, I guess you're right. I mean, I think the Warriors are right now a team you should beat, and I think you should be able to take care of the Lakers or Clippers. Take your pick on which one.
I think.
And you just, the Nuggets is a scheduled loss because they're just a terrible matchup for the Bucks.
I that's why I'm not going to get excited, because I think San Antonio is kind of a good matchup for the Bucks.
Right. Yeah.
The Bucks are young and athletic. San Antonio's old and doesn't shoot threes apparently. They only took 17. So I mean.
How about DeJounte Murray just kind of YOLOing that last shot, and Popovich just ripped into him literally right after he took that shot?
Yep.
He was not pleased one bit with.
I think it got blocked, but
yeah, it did. I mean,
the point remains that
Pop wanted him to, I think, hit Danny Green on a trailer. Danny Green, noted buck killer. Mm-hmm. He's always good for 15 points.
Oh, he doesn't
nowhere.
Miss. No.
No, absolutely not. It's just that's kind of how
he did his Austin Rivers, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Fuck Austin Rivers. I
exactly.
mean, it's just always that I can't stand Austin Rivers. I don't think anyone can. I think it's just because he's the coach's son, and you
right.
just, you get that. And it's one of those things. I'm trying. Any other hot topics with the Bucks before we move to baseball?
No, I think we're good. I think we're ready to lock it in here for the
lock it in
2018 season.
2018 season, and I got to admit, like, I got pretty excited. I was flipping through channels as I'm driving in, and we're taping this Monday night, and the Brewers are playing Houston, and I was listening, and
defending world champs.
They were up, and Christian Yelich, two-run double, and I was like, man, felt it a little bit. Little tingle.
Tingle in the pants.
Yeah, it moved. It definitely moved, because, like, you having Christian Yelich in two-run doubles with two outs, I mean, Jesus, like, that just sounds good. Like,
yeah.
Having Kane and Yelich at the top of your order, and I think that's where to start, is, like, where really should expectations be for Kane and Yelich, and are fans going to put them on a pedestal? Right now, the Brewers are the most rational fan base out of the three, and now that is a privilege, Brewer fans. I'm giving you that right now. It can be taken away, but it's because Bucks Twitter and Buck fanhood is just ass crazy, and we already know pinheads are Packer pinheads, and they're irrational at all times. So mm-hmm. right now, the Brewers have the rational crown, but that can go away really quick after like a 5-8 start.
Yeah. It's a tough schedule to start.
Yeah,
I mean,
right. It's not
San
easy.
Diego, it's the first, you know, they don't even know they're bad yet type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they won't be bad this year.
Right.
So, you know, a 5-8 start, that would stink. But I think where my bar is probably a little bit slightly higher than it was last year.
Oh, absolutely.
Off of last year's record. I don't know if I put them at 90 wins. But
yeah,
I think they'll get close.
I think 90 wins is kind of the goal. And as our guy, Tim Allen, says, game one is just as important as game 162. He says that a lot. And I think it's no truer
That argument several times.
Right. But I think it's so true.
I agree.
Year. I think this year, more than ever, it's really true, because there's just so much talent in the National League that I compared to the American League, where I think you can maybe squeeze your way in with 85 wins or 86 wins. This year, I think 90 is what's going to take to get to the NL wild card at least.
So you like San Francisco? You
think well, San Francisco loses Baumgartner and Samardzija to injury, so yeah. But the Mets are if the Mets rotation stays healthy, the Mets are going to be good. The Phillies are kind of that sneak. They are the Brewers of last year, and then the Cardinals are the Cardinals. Rockies, Diamondbacks. I mean, those are all teams that could win anywhere from 80 to 90 games, and it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
So and that's a good. And the Brewers probably play. To their advantage, they probably play in the worst division.
Arizona seems to be like up and down, though. They're like every other year, it seems like they are really good or really bad.
Yeah, that's true. It's like when you don't expect them to do well, they win 90 or 95 games.
And then when they make the wild card or whatever,
right.
You expect them to follow it up. Oh, they picked up Zach Greinke they're going to win 100 games and then they win 70.
They fall flat on their face. So I think Kane and Yelich are going to have a lot of hype around him. I think Christian Yelich is going to have a huge year. I think the fact that he's at
Miller Park.
Miller Park.
In front of Braun.
The left-hander thing. And Braun wants to have a big year. And me and you are being a pro-Ryan Braun podcast, Ryan Braun Forever podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing would make our podcast happier than Ryan Braun having about 30 home runs this year.
Oh, yeah.
And we just talk about Ryan Braun redemption all
I think
all
Braun, he's going to have to do better than 268
Absolutely.
This coming year. He's got to... every year is a big year for Ryan Braun, but I think this is one of those years where it's like, all right, we got to
put up or shut up.
Put up or shut up, kind of.
And when are we going to have
He's stuck here, and more or less.
If Braun struggles to start the year, when are we going to have the awkward talk about moving him out of the three hole? Is that like a May 15th tapping the keg, or is it like, do you think he has a ton of leash?
I think he's got enough leash.
Yeah, I think
the only other option would be.
Santana.
You could maybe flip Yelich and Braun.
Yeah, and have I don't know if you want Yelich. I think the idea is to have Yelich and Kane hit, 1-2 because it's just the 1-2 punch of just all contact all the time.
Right.
And the Brewers obviously are hell-bent on not being a strikeout team this year with guys like Kane and Yelich at the top of their order.
Is this Stearns being smartest man in the room?
I think it's just
trying to go back the other way now.
I think he's seen that, I believe either Jeff Levering or Lane Grindle made this point on the broadcast today. You saw the Houston Astros do it by making contact all over the place. You saw it by the Kansas City Royals. They won a World Series by making contact all over the place. And I think
kind of doing the opposite of Moneyball.
Right.
Making contact. Stealing bases.
I think you still want to take walks. I don't think strikeouts are still okay.
But that's how the Royals did it. Was with Nedley, they would station to station type.
Right.
Steal a couple bases here too.
Right, and I think the Brewers will be very aggressive on the base pads. I don't think they're going to run themselves in the outs. They're going to be a really fun team. They're going to be really exciting. I think they can have a potent offense that scores a ton of runs where you might not need the best rotation, and that could be part of the reason. Why Stearns didn't make that secondary move.
And we can get into that, too. I mean, I think Stearns probably made the right call with, at this point, looking back on it, the deals weren't there. Maybe see how the season starts. See if Woodruff takes a step.
Yep.
See if Suter can kind of follow up and build on what he did last year.
Right, and you were...
I wouldn't go to the window on that, but...
Yeah, if there's one player that you're concerned about, it's Brent Suter.
Me, personally? Yes, I think so.
We've done podcasts all last month. I mean, you guys can listen when we talk Brewers, and Brent Suter being a starter is always trips Mitch's trigger a little bit.
And when the book's out on an 86-mile-an-hour fastball, it's scary.
It could get ugly really quick. And I guess when you have guys like Junior Garrett ready to go, you have a Corbin Burns who might not be ready right now, but he could be ready in May. He could be ready in June. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's exciting. It's an exciting time for Brewer fans. And I guess Jonathan Villar, Stearns is also betting on a Jonathan Villar comeback. He didn't sign Neil Walker. He probably paid too much for Eric Sogard before he didn't really realize the market, because Eric Sogard would not have made that money in February. Eric Sogard,
what did he get?
He got like $4 million. Way too much money for what Eric Sogard is. Well, I like Eric Sogard.
It's not my money.
No, not my money either.
So that's fine. Now, I'm ready for a Jonathan Villar bounce back here.
I think
he's somewhere in between where he was the last two seasons.
Right.
Like if you mesh those together, You know, he had what? He only had 20 steals last 23, I think, or something like that, versus 65, I think, in 2016.
And the local broadcast will always sort of carry the water, right? And they were saying how, oh, well, he got off to such a rough start in the field, and that really affected him at the plate. and you know, the classic PR bullshit. And I think maybe there is a little bit of that. He's a headsy dude. But I'm sure it was more than that. He was just undisciplined at the plate. He had one good year and thought he was God, mm-hmm. and kind of thought that he could do like Carlos Gomez things after one year of not just sticking to his principles of playing baseball.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Villar is not a power hitter, and he knows that. And the power comes when he's just free swinging and doing the things he's supposed to.
Right. And maybe there's less pressure this year. Again. Yeah. You know, he's going to be at the bottom of the order more often than not, you'd think, at least to start.
Yeah, probably.
And
on,
you know,
non-day off games.
And, you know, so after having a bad year, humbled him a little bit, I could see, you know, 270.
Do you have any...
With that speed?
Right. Do you have any regression candidates in the batting order, in the batting, you know, lineup, you know, as some guy who you just think could really have a rough year that, you know, there always is that one guy or that struggles and it's like, wow. Didn't see that coming.
Well, Domingo Santana, probably.
Well, okay. So you think that was kind of a fluke.
Not trading him, he would have been the one guy in the offseason where I'd have been like, let's sell high on him.
Yeah, and that's an interesting one to pick because I think the obvious answer is Manny Pena because he's kind of a journeyman catcher.
That's
and
true.
Just, you know, how is he going to replicate that for another year? But Santana, I mean, yeah, he's had injury problems, and he didn't really have that significant injury. And maybe that's something the Brewers thought about when they couldn't trade him, and it's like, well, he hasn't really stayed healthy. And if he goes down with an injury, then the Brewers have all these outfielders to, you know.
Well, and he finally did stay healthy in 2017.
Right, and we saw it. And so he is a good, I guess, to that point, he's a good candidate for that regression.
Yeah. You can never factor in injuries, though. I mean, you can't expect them.
No, you can't expect them. You can't predict if the whole team's hurt by April 30th, and that's just how it goes.
I like that pick, Manny Pena.
Yeah,
for you.
Yeah, it was a layup. I'm not gonna. You know,
kind of forgot. I do like Manny Pena, though.
I do too. I think he is a good. Good. Well, he's a catcher. He's what the catcher should be. He's not. He doesn't have to be the star of the team, and he just gets it done.
Right. Breakout candidates, Orlando Arcia is going to be
the obvious one.
You know, again, I think much like VR, not much pressure.
I actually think Christian Yelich is a breakout candidate in his own right.
Yeah.
I know it's not he's already one of the stars of that team, but he could take. I thought about this when he hit his double, and like it's like classic early season hyperbole, but I'm like. And because he just met, you know, you mentioned he's hitting second. He Miller Park, left-handers love Miller Park. I'm like, could Christian Yelich be like an MVP candidate by the end of this year?
I mean, maybe.
And it's not like ridiculous if you really think about it.
No.
Like, we've seen how well two hitters do in the with the Braun backing. We've seen that, you know, left-handers do rake in this ballpark. Like, Christian Yelich could have a legit case for an NL MVP.
He could hit 30 home runs and probably drive in.
I mean, yeah, he could be
a
30-30 guy, and yeah, I don't think it's that spicy of a take, especially if you look at like who's won NL MVP in the last few years. There isn't that much star power when it comes to just batters. Well, Bryce Harper and Chris Bryant, I guess. I mean, yeah, there is star power, but those guys haven't won the MVPs. I mean, they aren't.
Well, Chris Bryant won it 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, he did. So. No, did he win two? Yeah, he did.
Yeah, you're for right. sure did. When they won the World Series, yeah.
You're right. You're right.
For sure did.
Did
you forget about that?
Nah, I'm trying to.
I would like to.
I'm trying to forget about it. I'm trying to forget that they won the World Series.
What do you think about Travis Shaw?
I think Travis Shaw could have another
Could he be a regression candidate?
Yeah, he could, but I feel like
he had such a good year.
He's probably the number one guy where it's like if he gets hurt, it changes things a lot.
Yeah.
I think if he gets hurt, it's a big deal. Like, it's a way bigger deal than if Kane goes down, Yelich goes up, because they have so many outfielders. And Shaw has such power, and he also hits for average.
Mm-hmm.
So if Shaw goes down, I think that is a major deal with the team. And let's hope that doesn't happen. I don't see Shaw regressing.
Yeah, I think I leaned to the side of that the Red Sox gave up on him.
Yep.
And he's in a good situation now. Again, left-handed hitter at Miller Park. I think he's all right.
Yeah.
I'm not too worried about Shaw.
No, I'm not. I'm not either. And if we move into the rotation and bullpen, now they haven't decided exactly who's going to take over in that bullpen. You got Oliver Drake, J.J. Hoover, and Taylor Williams. They're going to pick two of the three. Do you have a favorite in those three? I've written and talked about this at length already.
Oliver Drake kind of sucks.
He does stink. He is not good. He had an over 5 ERA in spring training. Now, spring training is kind of bullshit statistics, but the guy stinks.
It was Taylor Williams, Oliver Drake, and who else?
J.J. Hoover. Pitched for the Reds and the Diamondbacks. He's a non-roster invite, so they'd have to add him to the 40-man, but he was awesome in spring training. I mean, he had 9 appearances. I don't think allowed a run.
I mean, I don't have the spring numbers in front of me, but I think a lot of it would go just ride the hot hand into the season, I guess.
See, that's what I was saying, Mitch. I'm glad we're on the same page, baby. Like, that's exactly what I said.
Yeah, because bullpen guys are so fickle and just ride the hot hand as long as you can. And if J.J. Hoover blows up in you know, the first 2 weeks, and fucking cut him.
Exactly. And that's what I worry. If we let Oliver Drake get his stink on that bullpen, he's going to cost us a win or two. And I just can't have it. I can't let Oliver Drake easily becomes the most hated Brewer for me, and then it becomes personal the rest of the way.
The shitty thing about Oliver Drake is that he was Craig Counsell's situational lefty, but he's actually a righty.
Right, because he's good against lefties, which is such bullshit. And the other thing about Drake is he always, whenever he gets in high leverage situations, he shit his pants.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have the fan graphs on me. I'm just a guy talking to you. But if you looked up high leverage stats for Oliver Drake on Fangraphs, he for sure stinks. Mm-hmm. Like, there is no question about it. Just not good.
So Taylor Williams, 3.86 and 9.1 innings.
He got blown up in that last
in
start
spring
when
training.
They were hungover.
Yeah.
Not his fault.
Yeah, not his fault.
Cactus Cup.
We'll and Oliver you. Drake was at 5.56 for spring. I don't even see J.J. Hoover on here. That's not a good sign.
No, so maybe J.J. Hoover didn't do enough, and Drake gets in there by default, and then we just hope and pray that he's just used in once every now and again. I saw someone say Oliver Drake's Carlos Torres, and I was like, yep.
That could be.
That's right.
Every team has to have one.
You have to have one shitty reliever. I think it's kind of a rule in baseball.
And you just try to hide him as much as you can.
Right. But other than that, though, the Brewers have what could be a stellar bullpen where it's like good luck once you get to the seventh inning, and it's Josh Hader, it's Jeremy Jeffries, and it's Corey Knebel. And that is a firepower of a bullpen.
You trust those guys a little more than I do.
So you have to every year kind of like go into it with a little bit of pessimism about the bullpen. Like, I don't blame you for being a little nervous because, for whatever reason,
Jeffress is competent with the Brewers. So, I mean,
oh, absolutely. No, there's a comfort level. It's from what I've heard from Stearns. It's just, he just fits it here. It just makes sense. And I don't know. It's a weird thing, and who knows why, but it's just how it is.
Knebel scares me. I think just because since I've been alive, the Brewers will have a closer that does really good for 1 year and then just shits the bed the next year.
It's like,
and then they're gone, basically.
It's like being a Bucks fan or being a Packer fan. There are just some things that never change. Mm-hmm. Like, then that's one. And also the Brewers not scoring with runners in scoring position. That's another thing. or striking out.
That's probably every team, but yeah.
I know, but it just feels like it's your team that's the one. And then you see the Cardinals not doing it, and then I get angry text messages from my dad.
You see,
like,
the Cardinals hit, you know, 310 with runners in scoring position for
absolutely
the whole season.
No question about it. That's how it
goes. Just impossibly good.
Yeah, same with the Cubs. I mean, it's the Cubs are kind of the new Cardinals. I mean, let's be real here.
I see, you know, the Matt Albers numbers, too, from last year.
Yeah, Matt Albers,
Jesus
great.
Christ, even in spring he was untouchable.
I also, Matt Albers is going to be beloved by Milwaukee because he is just a fat ass.
He's a fat dude with a beard.
Hell yeah. We're going to have a lot of Matt Albers.
He's like Vote, where you just see him and you're like, that dude looked like he's hanging out at Rascals. Like,
yeah, exactly.
After a softball game.
That guy will have some beers with us at Duke's if it does run into that.
Shouts to Rascals. R.I.P.
Yes. R.I.P. to the realist. R.I.P. to the time I just drank $1 shots and tried not to get into fights.
Absolutely.
There. Small
I had two old roommates. One of them threw the other out the window. Because they used to have the window open.
That's
actually, I don't know if that actually happened, but he did. One of them was a hockey player, and he pulled his shirt off like a hockey player. The other one.
So like because a classic, classic Mighty Ducks situation.
Quote unquote stepped. He just stepped. You step, dude.
Hey.
What does that mean?
So, hey, sometimes you just got to drop the gloves and go at it. Like, that's just how it goes. So, to wrap it up with the rotation itself, I mean, we mentioned Suter. Woodruff, yes, he's not going to actually get a start until, I think, next two Sundays from now against the Cubs because they don't need
eighth game.
Yeah, they don't need a fifth starter for a little bit. So, it'll be interesting. I think Zach Davies is perpetually underrated. And I think he had a kind of a weird year.
The bat boy.
He had some really stellar performances, and then he was pure ass some other times. So it was a classic young pitcher, classic young guy. And I think he can have a big year. I mean, Chase Anderson has to avoid the opening day curse.
Yeah,
I'm convinced Chase Anderson's a good pitcher. It's not a fluke. Like Fangraphs wants to make it a fluke. They want to say he's a prime regression candidate, but it's like he got better. Like he didn't get like this isn't just out of the ordinary. He actually like made improvements on his pitch.
Right. I mean, he added to his repertoire, and exactly. It's like if you can hone in your accuracy on those and. Your command is the same thing, I guess.
Yep.
But if you can do that, I think you add a pitch, you become a different pitcher.
Yep.
And I agree with you that if when you fastball, curveball, major leaguers can hit that.
Right.
I mean, even if you're spotting it well, you're still going to have a 4 ERA probably.
100%.
But if you throw in a changeup, which is the best pitch in baseball,
yep,
which he has.
Right.
And he can control it. I think he's legit.
So
I'm cool with him being the opening day starter.
Now, is that a Derek Anderson thing? Did Derek Anderson kind of talk him into, hey, you'd need a changeup? Derek Johnson, yes. Derek Johnson.
Derek Anderson, the
former quarterback.
Oregon State Beavers
exactly.
Legend.
Who knew Sarah Underwood, if you're familiar with her work.
Yeah, oh, you bet I am.
Well, how can you not be? I mean, you have to be. So
one of the better Instagram accounts out there.
Sure. Yeah, I would say that's top notch. I mean, just love showing her butt. Hey, I'm not gonna stop you for wanting to show your butt.
She literally like makes money, I think, to take pictures. Like,
yeah.
No, that's in the Instagram model, but like, you know what I mean? Like, she gets funded with crowdsourcing.
I mean, Instagram like killed Playboy, right? Because like Playboy used to have these kind of girls who were similar in stature, and they would go pose naked for a magazine and, you know, whatever, make a bunch of money. Now it's Instagram, just they get these like fit tees and like these vacation spots and these other weird ass brands, like, and then they just make all the money and profit.
They also happen to smuggle drugs in there in their baggage.
Sometimes, you know,
they get caught. Somebody probably pays it off.
Right. I actually have no idea who you're talking about, but that's okay.
I don't really know. It happens. Let's just say that.
All right. So back to Derek Johnson. So is Derek Johnson the guy who told him to pitch his changeup more? Because it'll set up what I want to talk about next.
I would think so.
So that would be interesting because apparently that's what was plaguing Jules.
Like, is Derek Johnson a good pitching coach? I think he might be.
Well, that's what it was Chacin.
I haven't said that since Mike Maddox.
We're going to see about Chacin because Chacin was so bad against lefties. He gave up so many home runs to lefties. As a daily DraftKings player, I would start lefties against Chacin on the road because he'd get tattooed against left-handers. And now Jules said, like, hey, I needed to throw my changeup more. You know, Johnson's telling me to throw my changeup more, and I need to start doing that. So if Derek Johnson really fixes Chacin had great numbers against righties. He just couldn't pitch against lefties. And that's kind of a problem at Miller Park.
Yeah.
So I'm a touch worried about Chacin.
So let DJ work his magic.
Yeah. Is his Jules? Is that the way to say it?
Jules Chacin.
I'm going to call him Jules.
Jules, that's fine.
Fuck it. Jules. Why not?
Jules Chacin.
Jules.
Run the Jules.
They're in a little bit of hot water these days.
Couldn't tell you.
You can't do an interview with NRA these days. That's probably not a great idea, Killer Mike. Just a thought.
Well,
just a thought.
No news is bad news.
I guess not. All right. So to put a bow on this thing, the Packers. I guess you have to talk about it because it's catnip and whatever. We appease the pinheads. Is Odell Beckham Jr. is apparently on the trading block, which is a crazy thing to say. But the Giants are making it available. It could be one of the worst moves that made by an NFL team. that they just can't deal with the stress of having a young, vibrations.
Well, would
guy.
You want to?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Okay. I have no qualms. First of all, it's Green Bay, Wisconsin.
There's no way Odell Beckham Jr. is coming here.
No, I know. Listen, there is not the only
unless you're paying him $30 million a year.
Exactly. Because he doesn't want to live in Green Bay. It's just why Allen Robinson didn't come to Green Bay either. He wanted to be in Chicago. Like, I understand that. He should have just cut the bullshit and said, I didn't want to live in fucking Green Bay. I would have respected him more than the kind of the bullshit that he pulled in that interview the other day. Like, just admit it, man.
Yeah.
It's okay. Like, and the only reason he'd go to Cleveland is because Jarvis Landry's there, and that's like his guy. Like, they played college football together, and Jarvis Landry's like, we want Beckham. Like, get Beckham to Cleveland. And Cleveland does have the picks to get Odell Beckham there.
They do.
And now it would be a crazy move, but.
See, you got to get someone to throw him the ball.
Oh, absolutely.
That's two stud receivers. I love Jarvis Landry.
Nah, I'm not that wild about Jarvis Landry to Cleveland, but that's another topic for a few months down the road.
Again, I think he's a solid receiver, though. I mean, I wouldn't take him in fantasy.
Nah,
not
know.
This year.
He has had way too much. He's a catch monster. And in the PPR generation, we think that these guys are good receivers because they get a bunch of catches. But if you look at his yards per catch and things like that, it's not that illuminating.
Okay. Anyway.
But anyways, sorry to get into the weeds there. Yeah. No, I'll go
fuck myself.
Oh yeah, maybe. I think the Packers, you know, if there's there, I don't know what the offer looks like because it's a 1 year deal. You have to like have this that he's going to sign the contract coming off the plane. Like that has to be in the agreement. It's a little bit like, not to cross sports, but a little bit like a Paul George situation where do you want to just say screw it and go 1 year because you actually might not have to give up a ton because you know it's a 1 year thing. If you just go for it and you say, hey, we're just going to completely just blow this thing out, do it. And I don't know. I think if that's the case, go ahead.
I would say, do you think? I mean, there's no way Gutekunst trades his first pick.
No, I don't. This is the whole goes
I
back.
I mean, I don't
to,
care if you know Bart Starrs walks through that door.
This goes back to the Packers aren't going to be picking around 14 very often. You got to make it count,
right?
Whether that's Josh Jackson, whether that's Harold Landry, whether it's Denzel Ward, Derwin James. I mean, there are countless names that could help the Packers, and now which ones that. Is our favorite. I think we'll talk about that as the draft gets closer.
Lamar Jackson.
Dude, that's a good troll, Mitch. That's what you're here for. But if you're telling me that you could get Odell Beckham for a second and a third and maybe Nick Perry, all right.
Yeah, done deal.
All right, absolutely. I'm not thinking about it. I'm signing. The Giants would be the ones that'd be idiots to do. And yes, there are.
Is Nick Perry the NFL equivalent of a bad contract?
Maybe, yeah. I think he's the guy who you'd put on the block for this kind of deal, because you'd have to look at how to get him there, and you need
like
some
I don't
back.
Have any way to value like gauge trade value in the
right.
NFL.
Yeah, we can't really do
because
it.
there's no
NFL trade machine. We can't just plug
well,
and
like,
play.
Just not only not that,
and thank
but like
God, because Eric would send us so many fucking trades. So I'm thankful that we don't have an NFL trade machine.
But like, I guess I don't follow the NFL as closely as I do the other sports to like where I know like, okay, this guy, this is his contract situation. This is how much money he's owed. This is how good he is. You know, like to me, taking quarterbacks out of it, the best player in the league and the worst player in the league, the gap isn't that big in the NFL.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, NBA, I can do it all day long.
Well, I think you look at like what they traded Marcus Peters.
Like, why would
for,
you trade
right?
Why would you trade a receiver for a defensive end?
Right, and you look at like what Marcus Peters I think the Chiefs got like a third and a fourth or something like that for Marcus Peters.
And he's kind of one of the top corners.
Yeah, he's like an all-pro corner. I mean, he's a really good. He's kind of a shithead, but he's an all-pro corner.
Literally, and, who isn't a shithead?
No, I know.
In the NFL.
And someone brought up the point about like why the Rams are bringing in all these personalities, and I think it was said like maybe the Rams are the only team who actually understands how to
handle millennials.
You saw that? Like, yeah. I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe they understand.
Well, they have a 31-year-old coach.
Hey!
So it's like...
And not a bad thing. Speaking of coaches, did you have any thoughts on the coach's photo today? Did you see it?
I did not.
Oh, Mitch, how could you not? Look it up real quick and I'll keep talking.
Well, I'm sure it's great.
No, yeah, we can roll out with it. I mean, it is beautiful. Just for Matt Patricia's surf shirt alone, And Andy Reid looking like just a goddamn boss like he does all the time. Yeah, oh yeah, the big legs and everything like that. He's the man. And I love it. Every year it is.
Where is this?
Oh, wow. Yeah, you see Matt Patricia.
He's that fat?
He might be a family member of yours. I'm not sure. That was mean. I'm sorry. That was ugly. I apologize.
They're all wearing Hawaiian shirts.
Not all of them, just Andy Reid.
Coaches who don't want to be here. Kyle Shanahan.
There's a great man spread situation with Dan Quinn and Marvin Lewis where he's just, you can tell that Dan Quinn.
I can't believe that Marvin Lewis still has a job.
I mean, that is just ridiculous. It is
amazing. He got let go and then brought back.
Also, Mike Vrabel could still play. Like, Mike Vrabel looks like he's
ready. That's him right there,
yeah,
right?
He looks like he's ready to, like, eat steel.
Yeah, right? John Gruden right in the middle, you bet. Who's that? I have no idea who the guy is in the end.
I can't see from afar here.
I can point out most of these guys, but, I mean, I don't know who a couple of them are. Todd Bowles. Yeah. Oh, anyway.
Yeah, so I just had to mention that, but we'll see what the Pat. I don't.
Matt Patricia's a fat motherfucker.
He is. I mean,
pardon my language.
Well, hey, when you wear like hoodies and backwards hats and have a big beard,
you can
and
hide
hair,
it. Hey, man.
You can hide it. We all know.
Yeah, we know that.
We're both fat guys. Like, we understand how you hide your fat.
And the color of black is your friend.
Absolutely. You know he's wearing Black Lions gear all year.
Right.
100%. There's no way he's wearing that Honolulu blue.
Right.
You impressed with my Pantone knowledge there?
I guess.
Wow. Well, hey, what can you do? So, all right. Well, that just about does it. So we will we'll be back next week. Talk about first gut reactions with the Brewers. See how the Bucks do out west. And then I myself go out west to Vegas. So I'm sure we'll talk about my reunion, my second trip to Vegas, and see if I can handle that Chris Sale slider. Little inside joke for the long time tappers. All right, guys. Take care. You can find us, SnowTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We also have a website. Subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Twitter, or subscribe on Google Play. I really got to go.
You can subscribe on Twitter.
You can subscribe on Twitter. Why not? Mitch Ross, MKE, SnowTapWI. I will be back to do Daily Tap for Wednesday, where we'll do late night hoops. Can't wait. Take care, guys. Have a good one.
See you
later.